Welcome to the Liturgist Podcast. You are now listening to Black History is American History. I'm William Matthews.
Hey, I'm Propaganda.
I'm Nikki Black.
And I'm Andre Henry.
Today's moment in Black History, Reconstruction.
The Reconstruction era is the period from 1865 to 1877, following the American Civil War. It also represents the failed transformation of the 11 former Confederate states. Reconstruction aimed to end the remnants of Confederate secession and abolish slavery, making the newly freed slaves citizens with civil rights ostensibly guaranteed by three new constitutional amendments. Three visions of Civil War memory appeared during Reconstruction. The reconciliationist vision, which was rooted in coping with the death and devastation the war had brought. The white supremacist vision, which included segregation and the preservation of the traditional cultural standards of the South. And the emancipationist vision, which sought full freedom, citizenship, and constitutional equality for African Americans. When President Abraham Lincoln, a Republican, was assassinated at the end of the Civil War, Vice President Andrew Johnson, a Democrat from Tennessee and former slaveholder, became president. Johnson's weak Reconstruction policies prevailed until the congressional elections of 1866. Those elections followed outbreaks of violence against blacks in former rebel states, including the Memphis riots of 1866 and the New Orleans massacre of 1866. The subsequent 1866 election gave Republicans a majority in Congress, enabling them to pass the 14th Amendment, federalizing equal rights for freed men, and dissolving rebel state legislatures until new state constitutions were passed in the South. A Republican coalition came to power in nearly all of the Southern states and set out to transform the society by using the U.S. Army and the Freedmen's Bureau. The Bureau protected the legal rights of former slaves, negotiated labor contracts, and set up schools and churches for them. Thousands of Northerners came to the South as missionaries, teachers, businessmen, and politicians. Hostile whites began referring to the politicians as carpetbaggers. In early 1866, Congress passed the Freedmen's Bureau and Civil Rights Bills and sent them to Johnson for his signature. The first bill extended the life of the Bureau. Originally established as a temporary organization charged with assisting refugees and freed slaves, while the second defined all persons born in the United States as national citizens with equality before the law. After Johnson vetoed the bills, Congress overrode his vetoes, making the Civil Rights Act the first major bill in the history of the United States to become law through an override of a presidential veto. The radicals in the House of Representatives, frustrated by Johnson's opposition to congressional reconstruction, filed impeachment charges. The action failed by one vote in the Senate. The new national reconstruction laws, in particular laws requiring suffrage, the right to vote for freedmen, incensed white supremacists in the South, giving rise to the Ku Klux Klan. During 1867 to 1869, the Klan murdered Republicans and outspoken freedmen in the South. Elected in 1868, Republican President Ulysses S. Grant supported congressional reconstruction and enforced the protection of African Americans in the South through the use of the Enforcement Acts passed by Congress. Grant used the Enforcement Acts to combat the Ku Klux Klan, which was essentially wiped out, although a new incarnation of the Klan eventually would again come to national prominence in the 1920s. Historian Eric Foner argues, "What remains certain is that Reconstruction failed, and that for blacks its failure was a disaster whose magnitude cannot be obscured by the genuine accomplishments that did endure." Author Ta-Nehisi Coates writes, "In the collective sense, what this country really fears is black respectability, good Negro government. When it becomes clear that good Negro government might in any way empower actual Negroes over whites, then the fear sets in. The affirmative action charges begin, and birtherism emerges. And this is because, at its core, those American myths were never colorless. They could not be extricated from the theory that a class of people carry peonage in their blood. That peon class provided the foundation on which all those myths and conceptions were built. The symbolic power of Barack Obama's presidency that whiteness was no longer strong enough to prevent peons from taking up residence in the castle, assaulted the most deeply rooted notions of white supremacy and instilled fear in its adherents and beneficiaries. This is what happened to Thomas Miller and his colleagues in 1895. It was what happened to Black people all through South Carolina during Reconstruction. It was what happened to Black people on the South Side of Chicago during the post-war implementation of the New Deal. And it is what I contend is right now happening to the legacy of the country's first Black president.
So when I read We Were 8 Years in Power by Ta-Nehisi Coates, it was the first time that I probably thought extensively about the Civil War and Reconstruction. And honestly, I think I was taught more about the Civil War than Reconstruction as an era. But what stood out to me was this period of history in which Black people had political power. Mm-hmm. Like the South Carolina legislature was Black run. Mm-hmm. And there were 8 years in which it was done, and it was done so well. And I think it's W.E.B. Du Bois makes the point about Thomas Miller and that South Carolina legislature. He said, we were 8 years in power. Mm-hmm. And Ta-Nehisi Coates makes this interesting point that says, you know, there's nothing more harmful to the idea of white supremacy than good Negro government.
Yeah.
Because when you have it, then it breaks that lie of white supremacy that.
Well, I think it's not just that too. I think it's the fear of, it is the understanding of what white supremacy has done and what whiteness as a system has done and the way that it's subjugated Black and Indigenous people and people all over the world. And the fear is that will exact retribution, that we'll get revenge. Mm-hmm. Mm. I think that's ultimately what it is. It's admitting that you know what you've done and you know what you deserve. And so we cannot allow this group of people to rise because surely we will be enslaved next.
Mm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, that's the Thomas Jefferson quote of just like, yo, if God is just.
Right. I tremble for my country.
Yeah.
Because I know that God is just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And he in that same like speech, he was talking like, yo, if we ever am not out of power, we're gonna get what we deserve.
It's over.
It's over. You know. I say that as, you know, someone who suffered from the failing of Reconstruction. And I also love the tidbit about like that was the first impeached president.
Yeah.
And he was, because he was just racist. Like he just wouldn't let the thing happen. It's like, dude, it's over, bro.
Right.
Like it's over, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The better idea won. Like just it's over. You know, but at the same time, I'm like, that is a government I would not want to be tasked to figure out.
Right.
Like how hard that would be.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Is that why it failed ultimately? Was because when it came time to it, like I imagine what would have happened if Reconstruction was fully embraced and Black people, freedmen, were given their full citizenship and full right to access society, build generational wealth, build power centers, like how much farther along we would be. Like we wouldn't be having most of the conversations we're having.
Absolutely.
Right now. Even economically. Around some of these things, if we would just let Black people flourish, we would add to the economy.
And it has, when we were finally allowed to vote.
Yeah.
Guess what? We voted in Black people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So then but they progressive had to do, people.
And progressives, you know, then we were like, but so they instituted Black codes, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When we, with, you know, things like Black Wall Street. Okay, so if it's economic security, okay, cool. Well, let us run our own businesses. And guess what? The businesses flourish.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's just like, oh, we can't have that, you know?
Right.
So it's like, at that point, I mean, my Lord, like, what do you do if you're just like, yo, we just spent 150 years of conditioning that those people aren't humans?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
change.
You know what I'm saying? Even if you've changed in your heart where you're just like, dang, dude, like, we were wrong. This was barbaric. Like, we got to change. It's like, okay, now everybody. Okay, respect that dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, what?
Was just enslaved.
Yeah, who you used to own.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I would not have, it's almost like just knowing human beings, it was like, of course it was gonna fail.
Yeah.
You know?
This is where, to me, the church failed, because the church was called to help bring that
this
morality.
Was our chance.
Like, to actually help men recognize, using that traditional lens, like, their own sin nature, right?
Yeah.
That their propensity to hate, their propensity to oppress, and to actually give dignity and humanity back to people who had been stolen from. And to me, the church obviously did the opposite. It
you know, and all the revivals that came out of those periods, more centered individual salvation, right, rather than collective justice. And I think we're still paying the cost for it now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, and to that end, you know, talking about the church, like the idea of redemption, like this is an opportunity for you to not just restore this person to their rightful place in society as your equal, but this is a opportunity for you to do the right thing. This is an opportunity for you to redeem yourself. And for you to, in turn, redeem your children. I think in terms of the future to the past. So like when I look back on my ancestors, like what side of history were they on? So you can be indignant in your unrighteousness, but how are your descendants going to feel when they look back and see what their great great grandfather was doing? That doesn't feel good. I cannot imagine that if you are a peace loving, justice loving person, to know that that is your familial history, that that doesn't do anything for your soul, for your humanity. So it did a great disservice to the generations that came after them. And it was just a missed opportunity. But what I like about Reconstruction, as a historical point, is just we talk about civil rights and we think of the civil rights movement in the 1960s, but actually that was the second civil rights movement. So I love that Reconstruction was a time when Black people were suing.
suing people
and entities and winning.
Truth. It was the first Black woman, like we talked about, to win a court case against a white man.
I love that.
Well, I think it raises an important point as well. The point that you just made is that when Dr. King and other civil rights activists were marching, it wasn't because it was the first time America was having this conversation. They were pushing for laws that had been passed a century before and amendments that had been put on the books, you know, generations before to be implemented, because we keep on seeing this kind of like two steps forward, one step back on racial progress. So I keep thinking about like in 1877, there was like this whole negotiation that they did to like pick apart Reconstruction because one party wanted their guy to get into the White House. And so they made the deal. Like you take the army out of the South, we'll let your boy in. And it just highlights the fact that like, even though those things were written into law, the idea that like we are actual human beings in the same way that white people are, it just couldn't take root that quickly for them, or it hadn't, I should say, it hadn't taken root that quickly. So we were still being moved around like pawns basically in the game.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Black History is American History.